1 Samuel 15, and I want to continue the thought we started this morning about carnal Christianity, carnality, our carnality. I just want us to take some diagnostic measures, take some understand why are we still as carnal as we are. The title is Why You Are So Carnal. I've been kind of thinking along those lines lately in my preaching. I preached why you don't like church, why you don't forgive, why you neglect the Bible, why you don't submit, why you are so carnal tonight, why you are so carnal. And I think that if all of us were honest, every single one of us would have to say there is some measure of carnality in my life. There is at least some measure of carnality in my life. Why is that? Why would that be? And I want to take as our model of carnality, I think would be the word, I want to take King Saul, as an example of a carnal Christian, if you will. And I know you're going to say two things to me. Nobody in the Old Testament was called a Christian. I understand that. But God's people are God's people. And the things that are written in the Old Testament are written for our admonition and for our learning. And so I want to take King Saul as an example of a carnal Christian. And I know the second thing some of you are going to say to me is Saul wasn't even saved, you're going to say. I beg to differ. I believe that Saul was saved. I believe that Saul was a believer. I believe that Saul is in heaven today. But there are some Bible scholars who say that he was not. Regardless, for our purposes tonight, it doesn't matter whether he was saved or not, because I told you this morning, the carnal Christian lives just like an unsaved person. Right. And so we can still take Saul as the model or the example, and I think he's a perfect example of a carnal Christian, King Saul, tonight. And so let's pray, and then let's read the text and learn why you and I are so carnal. Father, help us tonight to look into your word and to come to an understanding of some things about this matter of carnality. Lord, you guide and direct. Guide my stammering tongue. Take the study that I have done and, Lord, do so much more with it than what I could do by your power, Father, and by your grace in this place tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Let me just stop right there. This is not part of the sermon, but I just want to point out, if your first reaction when he says slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, if your first reaction is, well, that's not fair, that's evidence that you're carnal. Because your first reaction should be, God knows what he's doing. Verse 4. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them to Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. Let's skip down now. He tells the Kenites to get out of there because they don't want to destroy them along with the Amalekites. Let's skip down to verse 7. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. wonder how many people your carnality grieves. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? If you know a sarcastic preacher, he comes by it honestly. Verse 15, And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things, which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he, Saul, laid hold upon the skirt of his Samuel's mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned. Yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. I think that Saul is a good example, and we'll look at some other incidents in Saul's life. Saul is a good example, a good model that we can look up and see, here is the life, here is the thinking, here is the behavior of the carnal Christian, the carnal Christian. And when we look at that, we can maybe get some help understanding why you are so carnal. Why are you so carnal? Well, you may have started out well. Would you look with me at verse 17 again? Samuel is talking to Saul, and Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, when thou wast little in thine own sight. What's he saying? You, Saul, you used to be humble. You remember when Samuel made Saul king, all Israel was gathered together, and Samuel was going to give them a king, and it says that Saul was head and shoulders above all the rest of the men of Israel. If the average Israelite was 5'10", that would make Saul about 6.5 feet tall. He was a big guy. But what was he? He wasn't saying, pick me, pick me, pick me. He was hiding. He was hiding among the stuff. Oh, please don't pick me, please. He'd already been told he'd been chosen. And he was hiding. He was humble. And then when they made him king, what did he do? He didn't go say, well, let's build me a palace. He didn't say, well, I need to pick out a cabinet, a secretary of state, a secretary of defense, and a secretary of war, and a prime minister, and I need to gather an army. They made him king. He's like, okay, so I'm king, big deal. He went back to daddy's farm and went back to work. Saul started out right. He started out humble. And then they came along and told him, hey, the enemy's attacked. And so he left, he unhitched the plow where he was working, and he left, and he gathered up an army. He had good leadership skills, and went and destroyed the enemy. And when some bad guys wanted to do something bad, he said, no, you're not going to do that. He started out right. And I think that every carnal Christian obviously starts out right. Nobody gets saved on the day that they get saved and say, I'm going to get saved and I'm going to be as fleshly as I can be. I'm going to be the most carnal Christian that I can be. I'm going to push the limits as far as I... Nobody starts out that way. You may have started out right, but watch what happened here. Back in verse 17. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? It ends in a question mark. He's reminding him what God did for him. And here's point number one. Why you are so carnal. You may have started out right, but perhaps you've forgotten what God has done for you. Perhaps you've forgotten what God has done for you. The sin that God saved you from, the miracle that God performed when you were born again, and the many things that God has done for you since then, the miracles, the prayers that were answered, the victories you've seen in your life, the way you've been able to overcome things. You may have forgotten what God has done for you. Perhaps you've forgotten it because you're not thankful. You don't give testimony and testify what God has done for you. You don't rehearse over in the Bible, over in the Bible. God's people are told to rehearse the things God has done for you. Say it over and over. Perhaps you're not thankful. I'm reminded, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to turn to Romans chapter 1. And I'm reminded of how important thankfulness is. How important thankfulness is. In Romans chapter 1, we have the downward spiral of man that slips into idolatry and sodomy and everything else. The downward spiral of man, how low man can go. The denial of God through evolution and everything else. This downward spiral of man. And I want you to listen to some of the first steps. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. How important is thankfulness? It's that important. It's that important. Perhaps you've forgotten what God has done because you haven't been thankful, because you haven't rehearsed what He did, because you haven't thanked Him, because you haven't publicly declared what He did. Perhaps you've forgotten what God has done because your heart craved different excitement. Boy, it's exciting when God works in your life. But if you find your excitement in fleshly things, that excitement of God is not going to satisfy you. You know how drug addiction works. Everyone that does a drug the second time is trying to recapture the excitement of the first time. And so they have to do more and more. They have to get more and more and more excitement. And That's how the world works as well. And if you're getting your excitement that way from the world, you're getting more and more, you're craving the fleshly things, you set your affection on the things of the world, the excitement of God, the exciting things that God can do in your life, that's not going to thrill you. Perhaps you've forgotten what God has done, and that's why you're so carnal. When you've forgotten what God has done, when you've forgotten the victories God has given you, when you've forgotten the way God has defeated sin in your life, when you have forgotten what God has done, that removes your motivation to move forward for God, to be more spiritual, to say no to the flesh and yes to the spirit. Perhaps you're carnal because you've forgotten what God has done. Samuel said, hey, didn't God make you king over Israel? You may have started out well, but perhaps you've forgotten what God did for you. Number two, look at verse 19 back in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Look at verse 19. Wherefore then? Why? Samuel asked Saul, why? Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil? You swooped down on the treasure. Why did you swoop down on the treasure? Why you are so carnal? Perhaps because you've never learned to deny your impulses. Perhaps you've never learned to deny your impulses. Hold your place here. Look with me at a couple of verses in the Proverbs. Look at Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs 25:28 says this, last verse of the chapter. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Perhaps you're carnal because you've not learned to control your impulses. Look at chapter 15 of Proverbs. Verse 27. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. Perhaps you're carnal because you've never learned to deny your impulses. Oh boy, we sure have impulses, don't we? I told you this morning my impulse often is kick him, kick him. We've got to learn to control our, Paul said, bring our flesh into subjection.
Yes, sir.
Bring our flesh, bring my own body under subjection. We've got to learn to control our impulses. The flesh is never going to lead you in a godly direction. Back in 1 Samuel, why you are so carnal? You may have started out well, but perhaps you've forgotten what God did for you. Secondly, perhaps you've never learned to deny your impulses and control your impulses. Thirdly, perhaps because you've redefined obedience. Look at verse 20. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. And I believe Saul was genuine right here. I think he really thought he had obeyed by his definition of obey. Perhaps you're carnal because you've redefined obedience. Maybe you've believed that partial obedience pleases God. Yeah, I destroyed the Amalekites. I did what God said. All I didn't do was I saved King Agag, and I saved the best sheep, and I saved the best oxen, and I saved the best camels, but I obeyed the Lord. God said, go here. And I came this far. I obeyed the Lord. I was way over here. Look where I was. I was way over here. And I came this far. Yeah, I obeyed the Lord. Maybe you think partial obedience pleases God. Maybe you think that there should always be an exception to the rules. Look at Saul's idea here. Look in chapter 13, 1 Samuel 13. And I'm going to skip around here, rather than read the whole chapter, but verse 5. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and people as the sand, which is on the seashore in multitude. Well, that's a big army. I can see how Saul would be distressed. Skip down to verse 8. And he, Saul, tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings, and he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash, therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." Maybe you think there should always be an exception to the rules. Who was supposed to offer the burnt offering? The acting priest, which was Samuel. But Saul said, "Oh, Samuel's not here, and if I don't do something, there's going to be a calamity. If I do what God says to do, if I stick exactly 100% with the rules God laid out, oh, we're in big trouble." Notice what he said in verse 11. Saul said, "Because I saw." Maybe you're one of those people, you always have a because. Because this. That's why I want to do it this way. That's why I want to bend the rules, break the rules. Because. You always have a because, maybe. That's carnality. Maybe you look at verse 12. "Therefore said I." Maybe you like to substitute "said I" for "said God." Look at verse 12 again. "Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." Maybe you even think that bending the rules is some kind of a great sacrifice on your part. "Well, my husband won't lead, so I have to. Somebody's got to." Maybe you think that bending the rules is some kind of great sacrifice on your part. You might be carnal because you've redefined obedience. Look at verse 24. Back in 1 Samuel 15. Back in 1 Samuel 15, verse 24. "And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." Maybe you've redefined obedience, and you have to try, in your carnality, you want to try to obey both God and man. "I feared the people. Fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Listen, you will never get out of your carnality until you know what obedience really means. It's not partial obedience. It's not bending the rules and making exceptions. It's not trying to obey God and man. You will never get out of your carnality until you know what obedience really means. Perhaps you're so carnal because you've redefined obedience. Come down to verse 21. In verse 20, Saul said, "I obeyed," verse 21, "but the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal." Perhaps you're so carnal because you won't take responsibility for your own choices. The blame game's been around since the very first sin. Adam, what have you done now? "The woman which thou gavest to be with me." In one breath, he blames the woman and God. Boy, Adam, nobody was more carnal than Adam at that moment. I said this morning, the way to get over your carnality is to face your carnality and its results. Take responsibility for what you've done. You'll not get over your carnality while you're continuing to blame others, while you're continuing to refuse responsibility for your own actions. Perhaps you're carnal because you won't take responsibility for your own choices. And lastly, look at verse 30. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now. He didn't say, I have sinned, so shame me. This is really interesting to me. He said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God. Perhaps you're so carnal because you've made your spiritual pursuits all about you. Honor me now before the people and worship with me. Is that your view of church attendance? Boy, I need to see and be seen. Somebody needs to see me singing. Somebody needs to see me praying. Somebody needs to see me giving. Just like the Pharisees, all their good works they do for to be seen of men. Maybe it's all about you because you need temporary relief from your spiritual torment. Look in chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 14 says, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And you know what happened? So his men said, hey, we seen this kid playing a harp, the son of Jesse in Bethlehem, and let's go get him, and he'll play the harp. When this evil spirit torments you, he'll play the harp, and that'll help. And look at the last verse in chapter 16. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. This happened again and again and again. Here's what Saul needed in this spiritual pursuit. He was only looking for some temporary relief from the spiritual torment caused by his carnality. And I think that's how so many professing Christians view church. I need a little bit of peace. And I get a little bit of peace in a church house. I get a little bit of peace in the pew from the spiritual torment that my carnality brings all week long. Perhaps you've made your spiritual pursuits all about you. Listen, don't be satisfied with temporary peace. Get all in.
Yeah.
You can't keep one foot in the church house and one foot in the world. You can't keep one hand holding on to Christianity and the other hand holding on to your carnality in the world. They're going in opposite directions. It's going to tear you apart.
True.
Don't settle for temporary relief. Just get rid of the carnality. Just get all in. Perhaps you're carnal because you've made your spiritual pursuits all about you. I got news for you. What we do in here is not about you or me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if in your heart you'll make it about the Lord Jesus Christ, boy, that'll go a long way against your carnality and for your spirituality. Why you are so carnal. I do think Saul was saved. I do think that when you and I get to heaven, when we all get to heaven, I think we're going to see Saul there. And I think if we were able to ask him about his carnality, he'd tell us it wasn't worth it. Sometimes he enjoyed the pleasures of sin for a season, but only for a season. Why
Why do we hold on to the things of the flesh, the lusts of the flesh, the desires of the flesh? Why do we continue in such a big way, the way that we lived before we even got saved, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind? Why? Perhaps you may have started out well, but you've forgotten what God did for you. Oh, just remember. Just recount what God did for you. You may have never learned to control your impulses. Control your impulses. Perhaps you've redefined obedience. Hey, you will never overcome your carnality until you understand what real obedience is. Perhaps you won't take responsibility for your own actions, or perhaps you've made your spiritual pursuits all about you. It's not about you. But when you realize it's not about you, that's when you'll get the help that you need. Let's stand for prayer. The invitation as the pianist comes. Lord, help us to deal with our carnality. Father, I don't know what else to say. I've brought forth your word on this subject morning and evening today. Lord, I need it as much as any of us in here. Deal with us in our hearts here in this time. Perhaps you're here and you'd say, as the pianist plays, I need to deal with my carnality. I'm going to make a decision once and for all. I'm going to do it at the...